So we all head out. Just take a moment to pray before we start. God, as we come this morning to gather as individuals that form community, I pray, God, that you would help us to see the purpose of the creation, of your creation of the church, that you invite us to come in and to share life with one another. Thank you that we can join our voices in worship with meaningful words. God, thank you that we can listen to scripture. And thank you, God, that we can learn your messages desired for us in this, our life's journey. God, thank you that we can celebrate new life and love that has flourished. Thank you that we can celebrate friendships and new friendships starting, God. And so as we join together this morning, God, make us aware of how this community becomes one that blesses us as individuals, and how we then can be a blessing to others here this morning as well. God, I offer my words just as a sacrifice to you and ask that you would just settle them into our hearts and to our minds this morning. I pray this in your name. Amen. So some of you might be wondering if there's a real disconnect on your pastoral team where last week Claire is talking about growing in faith through rest, and this week I'm talking about growing in faith through wrestle. And so we're kind of pushing the fringes on these 2 weeks. But we definitely are not in disconnect. And what I'm aware of is when we entered into this series and we're kind of, who will take which week? And I knew pretty quickly that I wanted to talk about growing through faith through wrestling with God. And the reason being is that I find that I have grown as much through in my faith through times of rest and through seasons of just almost it feels like receiving blessing upon blessing from God. And equally, I have received a growth in faith and a growth in understanding of God through the times of wrestling. And so we want to make sure that we include both in this growing in our faith, because if we were to believe that life was just to be the easy pathway, and if we find ourselves then on the difficult pathway and we were to wonder whether God could be doing a work in our lives when life seems so wrestling, we have to know that both are part of, are allowed in to this journey of faith. Some of you may need to take a pause at some point today and think about, have you been taught that, or have you felt like you've learned that we're not to wrestle with God? And we are, because Scripture gives so many accounts of people entering into a wrestle with God. We're actually going to talk about a physical wrestling match with God, as it were, today. But all the way through Scripture, we see people entering into the wrestle with God through lament. And in the lament is the why, God, and the deep questions. Why have you forsaken me? Where are you? And we see people enter into the wrestle with God with their deep, deep, deep questions. Kind of, how can this be? Or how do I find my way through something that seems so hard? We watch people wrestle with their actions. I think of, you know, Peter, you know, that wrestle of, will I get out of the boat to walk to Jesus? And what happens in that? That's a wrestle. He didn't just jump out of the boat and say, oh, this is easy, let's go at it. What was a wrestle going on in there? So I believe that we are invited to wrestle with God. This is not going to be talking about wrestling against evil. So this is not kind of that wrestle with that which might be speaking lies over us. That's not the wrestle. This is the wrestle with our loving God, with the goodness of God, with the presence of God in our lives. And we're invited in to do it. And in the story that we're going to encounter this morning, it becomes a good thing. A blessing is the result. When our daughter Mallory was in grade 7, she joined the wrestling team. And I thought this was great, because one of the things I have loved doing as a mom is observing Mallory, particularly in Jordan, in sport and being a cheerleader there. So that was awesome. Until I went to the first wrestling jamboree. And I didn't like it so much. And so if you can imagine, if your kids aren't there yet, and wrestling's a big thing in grade 7 and 8. So it's not, don't think of this WWF crazy wrestling. This is the sport of wrestling. And so think about this. I walked into the gym and there's all these big squares of mats, and each mat represents where a wrestling match is going to take place on. And so your task is to go and find where your kid is wrestling. And this was the first wrestling jamboree. Mallory had only wrestled against her friends at school. So a wrestling match against a friend, I don't think is really that hard. But this was her first time in competition. And so it's actually in this corner, it wasn't this gym, but Mallory was on this mat, and the referee says, go at it. And all of a sudden, my daughter is being pinned to the floor, and I immediately burst out in tears. And all I knew to yell was, tap out, tap out. Which basically I'm saying to her, quit, give up, surrender. It is not worth it. After this first match where she got defeated and I was still crying, she kind of crawls, has to get the other person to raise her hand, she crawls off the mat and I'm sitting on the floor and she crawls into my arms and I'm like, you do not have to keep doing this. You can quit right now. And often when we marry our opposites, my husband is there, Terry, and Terry is like, hey, Mally, I don't think you should quit. I think you should get back in there. I think you should go in there with the attitude of, you can do it. Just don't quit. Don't give up. And so she finished her next two matches. I continued to yell, tap out whenever you want. But what happened was this began a journey in our home of Terry teaching Mallory how to wrestle. And what wrestling really is, it's a real mental sport. So it's really a physical sport of strength, but more so it's about your attitude going in. And what Terry did was he taught Mallory to operate from this position of, I won't give up. So it's not violent. Like, this is not, pummel that person or anything. This is, I won't give up. I'm going to find a way out of this difficult situation that I'm in. And I'm not going to quit until the very end. And of course, Mallory went on to be the regional champion in her weight category that year. I still gave the advice most times of, tap out, it's okay. But what Mallory learned through this great lesson of wrestling was, if we enter into something with the attitude of, I won't give up, I am not going to quit, there will come an end point. And in that end point, there will be a learning. In this case, she waited for that, arm to be raised by the ref. That was a symbol of you're done, you've finished, you've kept on going. This morning, we're going to look at the story of Jacob. Now, when we meet Jacob, he's done a lot of his life's journey. It's an interesting read through Genesis. Again, sometimes we think the stories of the Bible are all these happy tales, and that's the only way they could get into our scripture. And then when we start reading the stories of scripture, it's like, wow, this guy was not a really good man of integrity in the way that he lived. So Jacob is a twin, and talks about he came out as a second. Actually, the scripture talks about he came out holding on to the heel of his brother, and they already talk about some animosity happening in that. So wrestling for that first order in birth was maybe what Jacob was trying to do, is to get there first. And then he goes through his life, and at one point his brother Esau comes to him, and Esau is really, really hungry, and Jacob has been making a stew, and Esau says, hey, brother, I'm hungry, can you give me some food? And basically Jacob says, yeah. I'm not going to do that until you sell me your birthright. And a birthright then is basically, give me your birthright for this food, this bowl of stew. And the birthright was the privilege of being the firstborn. It carried with it. It might be that the firstborn became the priest of the family, had a little bit more blessing or authority. And Esau actually gave it to him for a bowl of stew. Don't know why he did, but I think he's thinking, it's my brother. Maybe things won't go so bad if I give this up. But then as we go further into Jacob's life, Jacob actually deceives his father into giving him the blessing that was due his firstborn. And again, it is a pretty fascinating thing to see what happens. Like, Esau was a man with hairy arms, and he was supposed to get the blessing, and Jacob wraps animal fur around his arms. So his father, who is blind, feels these arms and says, oh, it is my son Esau, and I will give him this blessing. And again, this is just sibling rivalry at its worst, maybe, but also really big dysfunction within the family. And at one point, we read of Jacob leaving the family. And in Scripture, it talks about that Esau's words are actually within his heart is, I want to kill my brother. It's intense. So Jacob goes, he's away physically, geographically from his family, away geographically from his brother Esau. And at one point, after some more acts of not great integrity, Jacob decides to journey back to reunite with his brother Esau. And so it's this long journey back, and the message is sent out to Esau that Jacob is on his way. What we realize here is that Jacob is a man who within himself would be wrestling with who he was and what he had done. And now he's trying to make amends, but he can't control what's going to be Esau's response. And so he's coming towards this brother who he's hopeful will be ready for reconciliation, but he doesn't know if that will happen. So he's really a tormented man. Scripture even talks about that because he was afraid that Esau wouldn't receive him well, that Jacob divided his two groups of his people and his flocks into two groups. So he sent one group one way and one group another way, with the thought of being, if Esau is really angry and decides to defeat my people, then at least I'll have half of us left. So we have to understand as we enter into this, the whole situation, it's difficult, it's intense. And so we go into Genesis, in Genesis 32, Jacob has sent everybody away. They've crossed the stream or this river, and Jacob is alone. And it says, so Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And the man asked him, what is your name? Jacob, he answered. Then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. And Jacob says, please tell me your name. But he replied, why do you ask me my name? Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared. So it's an interesting thing here. When Nathan was introducing today, he talked about Jacob wrestled with an angel. And that's what some commentaries say. Some say that Jacob wrestled with God, and why it needed to be done at daybreak is because we're not supposed to. In the Old Testament, the people were like, we can't see God face to face, where we will fall because of that glory. But what we know for sure is that it is a spiritual being that Jacob is wrestling with. And it is a down in the dirt and the dust wrestle with God, with a spiritual being, with an angel or an agent of God. We look into this story and we realize that Jacob is left alone. And we don't think that Jacob initiated this wrestle, because it talks about while he was alone, this spiritual being came to him. And within this, we can then see that God can initiate the wrestling and invite us into that place of wrestle. When we also examine the story here, what we can know is this was not a gentle wrestle. This wasn't quick. This was at night it started, and it was still going on at daybreak. So this wasn't kind of a 5-minute. And if you read into Scripture, it talks about it was a weighted battle, like this person pressed, and then this person pressed back, and pressed back. And it was going on until someone said, please, we got to end this. But Jacob didn't want it to end until he received a blessing. What does a blessing mean in this? I think it means the reward of being in the wrestle, the newness that comes out of this. And in this situation, the blessing that Jacob gets is that he was given a new name. And he was given the name Israel. So if you want to do a deep study to look at what that meaning, that is a deep and meaningful, strong name that will have historical meaning in Jacob's life. But in the Middle East, what it talks about is that when a person's name was changed, it was changed to mark a significant change in that person's life. So Jacob was given a new name at that point because this marks something that changed in him. In our own lives, when we are invited in to wrestle with God, or we choose to go into wrestling with God, a good thing to understand and to know is that God will often invite us to go in alone. Jacob was alone. God met him in that aloneness. God had an opportunity to invite, to engage, to challenge, to talk with, whatever it was that was going on in Jacob. I think it's so curious. I like words. I would love there to be way more words. I'd like to be, God said this, and Jacob said this, and then God said this, and Jacob said this. It's not what we know in this biblical narrative. We know the wrestle was long and it was intense, but we really don't know what it was about except for a change was coming at the end. So when we're alone and God interrupts our aloneness and challenges us with something that may become a wrestle, our confidence can be that we can go into that and that we can know that it's going to take our energies, it's going to take our strength, that we'll be invited to press back. It's not just you have to do this way, step after step. You're allowed to challenge the next step that you have to take. And God will equally be in that with you. It becomes the journey. And so sometimes we have to wonder, well, what initiates the wrestle within us? What is that? It can be an emotional thing. It can be something that we have believed about ourselves that we no longer want to hold on to. But a lie is something that we believed in as a truth, and the wrestle in that is saying it was always a lie, so I'm going to press back against that and say that's not true. So whether you're not worthy or you're not good enough to be a leader or you're not good enough to do anything, those are always lies, and sometimes we believe them to be truths, and so we need to get in there and wrestle through that with God until we come with the blessing of understanding that we're faithfully and wonderfully made. God will use all of us. He has plans for all of us. We're all valuable. A wrestle might begin with something that we hear something about God, and it doesn't align with what we thought we knew concretely about God, or about theology, or about something, a practice of Christianity. And so we enter into that wrestle with God and say, how can that be? As a woman older than most of you, I often have to look back at the teachings that I was given through the church or the interpretation of the scriptures, and I've been asked many times to relook at them, to change with them, to add more mercy into my life. Mallory's 18 right now, and so I often think, wow, we're both following the same faith, but we have such different understandings of it and ways of looking at it. And even as a mom wanting to be faithful to her, I have to enter into wrestling so that I'm not a hammer mom and say, no, this is what it is, Molly. I know what it is. And so I go back to God, and I wrestle through some of the things of God that I don't understand or that I'm seeking for him to bring new meaning and new understanding. You might wrestle with something that God is calling you to do or calling you to stop doing. And so you go into that wrestle to say, God, I hear this calling. It doesn't make sense to me. And I'm going to wrestle with you until there seems to be clarity at the end of that, an agreement with you. But we go into the wrestle, and these wrestles are not easy. You will end up being in the wrestling ring with God that matches who you are. So my wrestling with God will not look the same as your wrestling with God. My wrestling with God is very full of conversation, as you can well imagine. And when I think of two very specific times where God entered into my realm and invited me into a wrestling match, they're so real in my mind that I can tell you they're both while I was driving. So one of them happened at an intersection of Fisher Holman and Westmount. I know exactly where it was. And that one was, I was at a red light and I actually like banged on my steering wheel. I'm like, no, I don't want to have to look at this. And it was around finances. And it really was. It was just a wrestle with God where I kind of wanted to be more in a place of holding tighter to it and thinking that I was being more responsible that way. And God just had a really different idea. And so we wrestled with that. And I remember when that started. Another one was if you go down Fisher Holman and turn left on Roseville Road, just on the outskirts of Cambridge, there is a pond. You'll see turtle crossing signs. And it was about 7 years ago, and I still drive by that spot. I'm like, wow. I felt like the car was filled with God's audible voice. And that time, what was happening was it would be, I would say, a childhood wound that I was giving more airtime to than God wanted me to. God wanted me to wrestle that out. So I was believing a lie about myself, and it was just prohibiting me. That's what I was doing. I was using that lie to prohibit me from moving on to the fullness of the call that God had on my life. And I remember exactly the question that God asked me. The question was, it won't make sense to you, but the question was, are you a fraud? Not a question I would ever ask myself, but this voice felt like it filled my car. And I was like, wow, this is not my question. I believe this to be God's question of me. And that question, are you a fraud? And my answer was no, I was not. Then God said, okay, we got to work on the things that you are believing as truths that are really lies. And so that began a journey of unwinding those things. And it still can happen where you keep, what I personally keep unwinding those things, following the desire of God in my life to receive God's fullness of who I am. But I can go back to that moment and say, wow, that was the beginning of that wrestle. And it was tough. And it was teary. And it meant going back and looking at some things. And it meant petitioning with God. And it meant receiving scripture in different ways. And it meant some forgiveness and some stretching. This week, I started to read a book called, I forget what it's called now. Let me tell you what it is. I wrote it down, I think. Something about peace. What is it? The Anatomy of Peace. Thank you. And in this Anatomy of Peace, it is about a group of adults who are putting their kids and surrendering their kids, as it were, into a drug rehab place. And what happens is the kids are taken off into their rehabilitation, and the adults are invited in to begin their process. And I am deeply attracted to this man named Lou, because Lou and I are really alike. And Lou, well, the whole premise of the book is about you can either have a heart at war or a heart at peace. And his journey is of Lou seeking to move eventually from a heart at peace towards others and himself, and at God, towards a heart, he's at a heart of war and seeking to move to a heart of peace. And man, a confession I said to Terry at one point, I said, man, I came to your family this Christmas with a heart at war. It was a hard Christmas, but I didn't shift at all in that time to a heart of peace. And that was a huge confession, because it was a deep looking at myself and having to say, I wasn't in the right on that day. But I love this. Lou has decided that he doesn't want anything to do with it. So talks about Lou's trying to work on this on a phone call during the lunch break. And when the phone call is done, Lou bellowed in frustration and he flung the phone against the wall. Stupid homework of this course, he says out loud. What a waste. This whole thing is a waste. That's a beginning of a wrestle. This whole thing is a waste, but I've been invited into it. And then his wife returned from lunch, and Lou looked at her before she entered the building, and he said, Carol, we're leaving. What? She's completely surprised. And he said, you heard me, we're leaving. She's like, leaving? Why are we leaving? Because this is a waste of time, and I don't have time to waste. And his wife looked at him warily and said, what happened on your phone call, Lou? Nothing. Seriously, what happened? Okay, I'll tell you. If you really want to know, I was yanked back to reality. That's what happened. Someone brought me back to my senses. Come on, we're going. But Carol doesn't budge. And Carol said, we're not leaving. And he said, we're leaving. And she said, I know what you said, but I won't allow it. Not this time, Lou. The stakes are too high. And he said, that's where we have to go, Carol. And he said, no, Lou, that's why we have to stay. The stakes are too high to exit this wrestle. And eventually, Lou determines that he will stay. He will stay in the wrestle. And it says that he slumped his shoulders and he heaved a heavy sigh. And he said, okay, Carol, you win. I will stay. And later on in the book, as we continue to get to journey with Lou, what happens is he chooses to stay engaged in this wrestle. It's a wrestle of understanding himself, of looking at his past, of looking at his beliefs. And all of a sudden, there's this beautiful point in Lou's life where it talks about that the next morning that he and his wife were driving to this workshop, and as they neared the offices, he could keep his thoughts to himself no longer. Carol, I am so sorry, he said. Deeply sorry. And she says, for what? And he said, for everything. This is the wrestle. This is the blessing of the wrestle. This is the alone part of the wrestle, where you bring to God, or God brings to you, the things that are to be wrestled through, to be worked out. Another way that we might enter into the wrestle is through a prayer of confession, or just a really honest prayer. And this one, you could start like this, and you could say, God, this is hard for me to talk about, and even just to admit, but lately I find myself feeling constantly with anger, and it's hard to describe, God, what's going on. I don't understand it. But God, I have resentment towards you. I can't word this exactly, but I'm angry at you, God. I'm angry about some things in my life, and angry because life is unfair, and angry that everything is so hopelessly this way, and I don't understand it. But I invite you into this wrestle with me, God. God invites us to share our most authentic thoughts, fears, conflicts, emotions, experiences with him and bring it into the wrestle. And in this, I think that God doesn't ask us to be polite all the time, because the story of Jacob is really a push and a push and a push and a push. And in wrestling, the moves are to get out of that hold and to start something anew. And so the wrestle returns again. And so when we begin these wrestling with God in the order to grow our faith, go in there and be authentic. And be an authentic listener to what God will be speaking to you. Sometimes these just mean that we need to step off the life course for a little while to really attend to what these wrestles are. Sometimes our reactions will be look different to those around us, and we might feel a little bit judged by that, but I encourage you to keep going on with the wrestle and to the answers that God is seeking to give to you. Sometimes we talk about this being a wrestle of brokenness and leading to a surrender. I don't always think that's absolutely true, or I don't always look and say, when I go to God to begin a wrestle, I don't always say, I'm really, really broken. I'm really, really wounded, and I need to do this with you. Sometimes it's just, I want to keep growing. And it's like Mallory, when I want to say to her, tap out, just quit, she wasn't to quit yet. She was to keep going and to keep learning and to develop a skill set. So it can come out of brokenness when we enter into a wrestling with God. It can be something that has been wounding to us, but it also can be a growth in leadership, or a growth in faith, or a following through on our calling, or a wrestling with something theological that God calls us into doing that. If we look at the wrestle again with Jacob, at the end of the wrestle, there is a transfer to something new. I don't really understand, like, it says the God, or the angel of God, did some damage to Jacob's hip. That doesn't seem very nice. But really, the scripture ends with Jacob moved on and he limped away, and it didn't seem to be something that Jacob was really, really angry at. There was this newness in Jacob, a new name, something new to attend to, and this time he had to attend to a physical disability that was given to him, and a new calling on his life. And so he names a spot, he nails it. So mine would be Fisherholman and Westmount Road. That was one wrestle. I could go put a marker moment back there. Jacob names that, and then he moves on with his life. And we can continue to read about Jacob's narrative in Genesis. What we don't really know is, we don't know how many times does Jacob refer back to that wrestling and remember it and find the blessing in it and continue to grow from that or move out from that. Oftentimes, we feel like in our faith that we're supposed to say, "Thy will be done," at the very beginning of a wrestle. And that seems to be sometimes the phrase that we're given, and that would make us the better or the more mature Christian, as it were. "Thy will be done," saying to God, "I want it to be your way, I want to follow your way," is so important that we come to. I just don't believe that we have to say that at the beginning of every wrestle, because in some ways I think it's a tapping out. If I say right away, "Just do what you have to do," and then I tap out or I check out, I don't engage in the wrestle and the process that God is inviting us into, inviting me into as an individual. So what can we know about God in the wrestle? God remains God. God doesn't become your enemy. God doesn't seek to be the victor over top of you in an arrogant kind of way. We can know that God initiates and invites us into the wrestle. We can know that we can initiate that wrestle. The wrestle might have been beginning within Jacob's heart already, and God being God would know that and met Jacob in that faithfulness and said, "I will meet you there." We can know that at the end of the wrestle, there will be a blessing. There will be something new. There will be a strength moment. In Scripture, in 1 Corinthians 13, it says, "When I was a child, I talked like a child, thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. And when I became an adult, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in the mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known." And this kind of journey of our life is to allow ourselves to be more fully known by God and to get to God more fully. We're called, we're compelled to move away from childish, to move into more developed beings. Zechariah 13, it's another way of kind of describing the wrestle. It says, "I will refine them like silver and test them like gold. They will call on my name and I will answer them. I will say, 'They are my people,' and they will say, 'The Lord is our God.'" For gold and silver to be refined and tested is no easy process. And in that, God says, in that difficult process, both of us will say, "God, you are my God." And God will say, "And you are my people. You are my person." God wants to do something personal within each of us. He does it because there's a reward, a blessing. It's for our good. It's for our growth. I invite us not to be afraid of the wrestle, and I invite us not to tap out too early, to go the distance and to find the blessing, to find the newness and the new opportunity. Let's pray together. God, just in this moment of reflection,